person in your life who left a permanent footprint in your heart? Do you ever stop to think why that person is or was so special? Special enough to leave a legacy in an entire community and even throughout the country? This is a show that's the first of its kind for Mrs. Green, because we're going to focus on one individual who made a difference in the life of everyone whose lives he touched. It's a feel-good show. Imagine that. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to put a great spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And I encourage you to stay with us, because we are going to make this show relevant and tie it all together in a neat little bow, I hope. And I'd like to thank the sponsor for this show and a wonderful partner for us here in Mrs. Green's world, Russet Southwest. They have been serving the Tucson and surrounding areas since before 1950, which is, by the way, before even I was born. With honesty and integrity as their foundation and customer service as their primary goal, they are proud to offer a variety of Tucson heating and air conditioning services to ensure that their customers are breathing safe and clean air in their own homes. Joining me in studio for this next 30 minutes are Philip Gibson and Tim Sibley, both from Russet Southwest. They are two people who are very close to the man we're going to talk about. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, and now I'm going to go into a somewhat rather long introduction, but I think it's important our listeners get a sense of why this matters and how does it tie into climate change and clean air. I'd like to start by telling you a little bit about my friend Gary Gibson and why we all decided to dedicate an entire show to him when we're all about climate change and the health of our planet. There are very valid reasons behind our decision to do the show, and as we get into it, those reasons I think will be obvious. Gary passed away early on the morning of December 7th in Tucson, Arizona, surrounded by his family. He was 76 years old. A shockwave was felt by many in our community, and I was one of the people who felt it. It was sudden, and it was way too soon. People loved and admired Gary. You only had to spend about 30 minutes with him before it was clear how much he loved his family, starting with Kathy, his wife of 40 years. Known as the longtime owner of Russet Southwest Heating and Cooling and Air Conditioning, I got to say that right, heating and air conditioning, Gary took great pride in his business, and trust me when I say great pride. Throughout his 50 years of leadership, Gary practiced and taught integrity, honesty, and respect, and I can attest to all of that. I also believe the man was a genius. I'm not sure. I'm going to ask our two guests, and they can disagree with me, but as far as the way my brain works, he was a genius. He knew more about air quality than anyone I have ever met. This is where the health of the planet piece comes in. It's safe to say that Gary was obsessed with indoor air quality and with making sure that people were safe and healthy in any home touched by Russet. I'm not sure, but I think he might have driven people at Russet a little nuts about it, but that didn't stop him at all. And he was an inventor, not satisfied with the products he had at his fingertips. He had to invent new products, which resulted in his impacting the entire industry. His technological advancements have been recognized as crucial improvements to indoor air quality and growth within the industry. Gary also recognized the importance of paying it forward, and indeed he did. He worked with Pima Community College as both an advisory board member and a mentor to continue education in the field of heating and air conditioning and indoor quality. He knew how important it was to keep the trades alive and to educate our workforce on how to do such important things as ensuring indoor air quality. He was also awarded multiple patents. Again, I have no patents. I think he was a genius. His goal was simple. Everyone deserves to live in a healthy environment. As part of his community impact, he was a continual supporter of local charities and was known for his generosity. And I believe that he always did the right thing and was known for his kindness. And if it isn't abundantly clear, I loved him dearly and I miss him terribly. So now, on to our two guests who knew him for longer than I did, who spent more time with him, and who can give us more insights about Gary Gibson, maybe even throwing in a couple of juicy tidbits that we get to chuckle about, that, you know, he would chuckle about. Tim and Philip, let's do this. Let's have fun, and let's pay some homage to Gary. And let's start out with you, Tim. Why did you want to dedicate an entire show to Gary's legacy? Because you really did.
Yeah, I know. Spending time with Gary and just understanding his heart and his desire and just his concern for indoor air quality and just the quick connection he made with you in this show and you even getting him on here to do these podcasts, which was definitely outside of his box.
It certainly was outside of his comfort zone, but he got over it.
Yeah, even the first show we did, he was like, what are we doing? You know, this isn't my thing, but... And just moving forward, I just thought it'd be a great way just to, I think he's listening to us to hear this and know that we're just carrying on
his
what he taught us, his work. And we do still think about him and we're just, like you said, we still miss him, but we want him to know that we still care about indoor air quality. We care about people's lives and we want to do what we can to help better their lives and continue that.
And that's a true legacy. It's, yes. If something dies with the person, they really didn't figure out how to turn it on. So, Philip, you're obsessed with indoor air quality, too. I mean, you do energy testing. You have your own business. Tell us why you think it's important to keep this legacy alive.
Well, yeah, my dad did spend a lot of time, basically back in the mid-90s, early 90s. We saw this need coming, and he really did on fresh air systems and makeup air systems on as building construction got tighter and tighter and things changed. And he put pretty much his 100% passion into that. We saw this, the testing of this, of these structures and everything coming. And so I started with his blessing and his help to get into the testing business to back up things he was doing. Like you had mentioned earlier, he had multiple patents on these air exchange systems, and he was always enhancing them, making it better. He was the type of person that never, if we were doing something like that and he was putting it together, he would pretty much do it in his own house or whoever, one of our houses, prove it, make sure it worked the way it was supposed to, the way he meant it to work, before we would even think about putting it out there.
Right, right.
And we, after he passed, we sat down and said it would be a shame to not move forward with his how he had projected his future and our futures and how he's always ahead of everybody on this. And like Tim said, we're just want to go forward and keep doing what we can, which is, you know, an inkling of what he had in him.
Yeah, and keeping the dream alive. And one of the things, I mean, Tim, I want you to tell the story about why he got so interested in indoor air quality and the whole thing that happened with the home, the housing development, and then he was on a mission to really clear that up. But what I want to share with our listeners is what was so relevant to me and so important to our relationship is indoor air quality is making people sick. It's not going to. It is. We have the sealed homes, as you refer to, Philip, which were Energy Star. This is great. Nothing gets in. Nothing gets out. Well, then some big bad things got in, and you want them to get out. So there has been really a market adaptation to those sealed homes. Isn't that accurate to say? I mean, I've learned so much because of sitting with you guys, but it's not good to keep everything in. Air has to be exchanged.
Absolutely.
Correct.
And chairs can get people sick because of what's sprayed on them, and carpet can get people sick because what's sprayed on it, and drapes. I mean, we're bringing so much into our homes that gets trapped if we do that. And, you know, we have personal stories with, you know, my friend Megan, who had something really, really wrong in her house from a duct. I never get that story straight, but she was really sick. And then she got over it with chronic sinus infection. So there's a real clean air component to this and chemical free. So why did he get so obsessed?
I think it was in the early 90s, late 90s, mid 90s. A national builder in town, basically, they were having problems in their homes, mold, people getting sick, and out at the job site. With the news crews there and cameras in his face, he was basically thrown under the bus. And probably threatened to get sued. And mm-hmm. Basically, he's standing there in front of the news camera. He said, I don't know what's going on with these homes, but I'm going to find out what it is, and I'm going to make sure it never happens in a home that we have a part of again. So any home that going forward, that's when he really just dove into indoor air quality, basically the ground floor of the field for indoor air quality when it comes to residential buildings. I mean, he was one of the founders of that kind of science in that field. That's when it all really started beginning. Mm-hmm. Traveled all over the country, learning, getting certifications, and really that's when he got into his patents for air exchange.
He was on a mission.
Yes. Yeah, ever since then he's never really stopped. That's always been his passion, and just never satisfied with what he created. He always wanted to make it better, and even in retirement. You know,
that's a joke in his case.
Yeah.
In
he
retirement.
Still showed up to work every day working on indoor air quality. He put 5 years of his time in investing in myself. And just the guy was the hardest working guy I've ever met. Nonstop.
He had a joke that in retirement that he was our cheapest employee because he was free.
That is true.
And he was at our beck and call to use him. Yeah, and with Tim, with the indoor air quality stuff, he had instilled in us also, when I was getting into it, like he said, what is this happening? Why are these houses doing that? Was also to walk into a house and not think someone didn't know what they were talking about. They were sick. You might not be sick. You might get sick in the house. You got to believe what they say, and then you try and find out what is making them sick. It might not make you sick, but so we always went in with that in our mind that these people aren't crazy. They've got something wrong. Let's see what it is. And building science, if you work it right, will lead you to a lot of the problems we were finding. And that's what he did.
And what blew me away, you know, how in wine there's a sommelier, and in perfume there's someone, their position is literally called the nose, that they can smell. Well, Gary came in this house, and we don't have toxins in our home. He played a mean trick on me when you tested our indoor air quality, and he said, oh my gosh, you know, there's some, I thought you got rid of all your toxic cleaning products. And I got white as a sheet, and I went, you've got to be kidding me. And he goes, yes, I am kidding you. It tested zero for that. But there was a magnificent obsession with the details of that. And one of the machines, am I speaking correctly, the only other machine of its kind, it was an EPA machine, that they're the only other ones that owned it. You guys purchased that machine to test indoor air quality in Tucson. Is that correct?
Yeah, he had basically contacted one of the companies that makes different meters and air sampling instruments. And he says, hey, can you make me one with this, 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 and that, you know, to test different things that he saw as a high concern for residential indoor homes. And basically over the next couple months, they made the instrument for him. Not quite sure what he paid for that thing. But
a pretty penny. He reminded me of that often. He blamed me. He said he blamed me because I got his passion ignited again for indoor air quality. When you say to people that upper respiratory disease is the third cause of death in Pima County, that has to get your attention, especially if you're Mrs. Green. And when I did research, the national statistics, it's the same thing. It's upper respiratory disease is the third leading cause of death in the United States. It translates to the national level. So, and indoor air quality isn't everything, but it has a lot to do with it because that's where you spend time. And things get in your lungs and, you know, the beat goes on. What about, this is, you know, like I said, we don't want to portray him as a saint because he wouldn't like that. He'd be squirmish. He didn't come off wanting to be canonized for sainthood anytime soon. But what about, Was he a good teacher, or was he an impatient teacher? And I'll just go clean here. My mother was the best cook in the world, and she did not do well as a teacher. She knew she had a gut, she had an instinct, she could do it. She fed us like none other, but she wasn't a good teacher, and she'd say that. I feel so sorry. I just want to do it my way, that kind of thing. So, what kind of teacher was he?
I think he was a good teacher. I know from on my side of it, because he was passing the torch to us. Like,
yes.
He was very good at he just didn't step in there. In fact, he got to where he was relying on us, too, to get the right stuff for him to analyze and things like that. So he was actually making sure we did it right and spending the time just to make sure we were doing what he wanted us to do and what was right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I thought he was an excellent teacher in that, and he did have patience.
That really matters, to be a teacher. I mean, yeah, that's, to me, the key ingredient.
I know he had a lot of patience with me, and he even told me, like, he'll take the time and the patience for people that want to learn. Like, if he knew right away you didn't want to learn, he wouldn't have the patience for you. So,
and if you told him, he didn't care. I mean, it's like, okay.
Not interested.
Yeah.
Not interested. I know. That's okay. It's really okay.
Well, yeah.
But it was a new exciting field. I mean, this was just so much more coming on this. And it was,
is an emerging field.
Yeah, and it was neat to get into.
Yeah, really.
And it's funny because you and I, Gina, I've always known Gary as a kind, nice guy. Philip and some of the other guys at Russa that I worked with him for 20, 30 years. I guess we missed out on his mean.
The rougher side?
The rougher, meaner side. It's kind of funny because they tell me stories, but.
He mellowed.
He was.
Well, when the grandkids started coming, he started mellowing.
He mellowed. That'll do it. That'll do it. I mean, it really is. When you're so successful and driven like he was to do this, that's tough. And I'm glad that you got to see the mellow side.
Well, I'm not
saying
we were the easiest to work with either.
So. Yeah, so there's ownership of that all around. And it is very much, you know, family members involved. And it seems to me it all worked out quite well. Philip, is there anything that comes to mind, and I certainly don't want to put you on the spot, that things that you really learned from your dad that held you in good stead up to and including today, things that you can say like that he said or that mattered that you carried over to your family and your business? Does anything pop out?
Well, honesty and integrity is the big one.
Which is everything.
It's everything. Yeah, when I started in high school at Russet, he didn't just put me in there up in the top anything. He made me
the,
work
the boss's son.
That's right, because I already had strikes against me because of that. So he made sure of that. I knew that. So I started basically at the bottom, and he made me, if I wanted to work, however I wanted to work up the ladder, but every phase of that in my life was doing it the right way, in the honest way. If we made a mistake, we fix it, and we move on. So all the honesty, integrity, doing the right thing, we do stumble. Make sure you make it right for our homeowners and people, and so that's always with me. To this day, is with me.
Honesty and integrity. Mm-hmm. We could use a lot more of that.
Yeah.
It's like, and the other thing about making you start at the bottom. I mean, just today, my conversations were filled with the entitlement attitude of a lot of kids today. It's very sad. Parents didn't do them a favor.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help when you hand your kids everything. Excuse me, and having them work from the bottom up and learn all aspects, I think that's to be commended. Tim, he was your mentor. He wanted you to learn everything that he knew. And even though I don't think he planned on leaving us quite so soon, how was Gary as a mentor?
He was great, honestly. Like, it was amazing to me. I come into a company, really a nobody. I was just there to work and learn whatever, and I think he saw, and same as Philip was saying, so far I wasn't part of the family. I started at the bottom. I was some guy's helper, and I would learn part of the HVAC trade, and then I would talk to Jim Baldwin, who's the current owner, but he was the general manager, Gary's son-in-law. Hey, what can I do next? And I think that caught Jim's eye, and Gary was looking for someone that just wanted to learn and keep learning and growing, and basically asked me if I would be interested in learning about indoor air quality. I said, sure, you know, if that's going to help me out and help this company out, that's what I want to do. So, took me under his wings, gave me some books to read, told me some certifications to work on. And
baby, look at you now.
Yeah, and, you know, he would take the time to take, you know, hot summer days, he'd be out there in the field with us, showing us how to test houses, how to set up blower doors and different instruments we use. You know, not fun out there in the heat, but he would take the time to do it.
He wasn't calling to you from the air-conditioned car?
No. Exactly. And if
that
he did mess up,
Gary.
He wasn't always, especially during training, he wouldn't just like pointed out, hey, you messed up. He would just take the time to explain it and say, hey, you did that wrong. You know, you need to do it this way. You know, it wasn't just a great mentor, and I still had a lot to learn from him. It's hard with him not around, but you know, we're just going to continue. He says, you know, there's resources out there. Look for the right resources. Take the time to read and learn and keep learning. That's something I learned from him. He never stopped learning. I mean, he had easily had the money just to go enjoy life, enjoy retirement. Guy showed up every day, taking his time to invest in me. I mean, how could you not admire and honor a guy like that?
Right, and you just don't see a guy like that retiring. It's like that was not in his DNA, and probably Kathy was glad for that too, because they took trips and they did family things and all that stuff. One of the things that I knew a little bit about is I meet people in the trades that have had contact with him. And I think about Armando Ruiz from Tucson Electric Power, this young man I interviewed named Victor from, I'm trying to think of his last name, I think it was Sylvain, maybe, from Tucson Urban League, right? You know this. And I brought it up after the show when I interviewed Victor. And when I mentioned Gary's name, his face lit up. And I said, well, what did you like about Gary? And he literally waxed poetic. And this was a kid that started through AmeriCorps and now has he and his two brothers work for Tucson Urban League, very, very gainfully employed, teaching others. So it was another legacy. And Armando, he said, oh my gosh, I learned so much from Gary. I learned so much. And that was, you were collaborative partners with TEP. I think that's fair to say. It was a fair exchange. And the other part is when I interviewed someone from JTED, he knew that we need people in the trades, that not everybody needs a college degree, nor should they have one. It shouldn't be the only metric by which we're measured. That when my air conditioning breaks, I don't care if someone has a degree in science. Yes. Fix my damn air conditioning, you know what I mean? Exactly. Or my toilet, or any of those things that are the comforts of our home. And Gary respected that and really worked to help keep that going and alive.
Very much so, yep.
What about philanthropy? Because he was very quiet about his giving, but I happen to know he was a giver. I have friends from the Boys and Girls Club that have been on the board since dirt, I think. And, you know, he had other charities. Mm-hmm. Is that something that he helped to espouse as a company? Was it a personal, private thing for him? Tell us about Gary the giver. Do you either of you know that? Was he quiet about it?
He kept it pretty quiet. He didn't want any recognition for things. If he gave to Angel Charities or Boys and Girls Clubs and things,
thanks for the plug for Angel Charity.
Oh, sorry.
Whoop, whoop. No, I love it. Okay. I'm an Angel Charity. It's like, yeah, that matters.
He was a very humble man, in my opinion. Like, he never, I mean, the patents he had, he never bragged about them. He never bragged about the money he had. You know, he didn't, he was just a very humble guy, and the more I learn about him, and the more people you meet that know him, you're like, wow, this guy had a big impact on a lot of people.
He touched a lot of lives.
I told more people about his patents, I think, than he did. That was...
Tim told me.
Yeah.
Tim told me. I mean, seriously.
And I have no problem in telling people what he had done to get their houses healthier.
Well, here's the part about the genius question came up, and it's probably because I don't have any of those skill sets whatsoever. None. And I'm not joking. Like, I cannot find my way out of an electronic paper bag with directions, okay? And I'm not, it's left brain, right brain. It's Laurel and Yanny. You knew I had to throw that into the show. And there will be people out there that are chuckling at that. But there is something about that quiet side of him, the gentle giant that you could feel something. It's more of how he was and showed up in the world than what he said, you know, out of his mouth. And I think that says a lot about a person, too. How was he, I don't know if this is a bad question, but how was he to hang around with? I mean, he had very high standards. And back to the genius question, I lost my train of thought for a minute, to be honest. But Jim told me, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this at all, that Gary could do the taxes for the company. He knew tax law. He could quote, like, are you joking? I don't even want to know there is tax law. That is what an accountant does. But Jim told me, he said, Gina, this guy was so smart. It's a big company. And there's lots of tax pieces to that. And he said he knew it.
After he died,
he said, we're like all running around trying to figure out what the heck we're going to do because we don't have Gary.
Yeah, he always taught me and others, myself, that, you know, going through life, you got to change, be willing to change hats. He would go wear a suit or have his boots on and be in the trench with you if you had to. To the simplest, to the whatever, but everything he did, he put his 100% into. So yeah,
he had many, many multiple faces. Yes. Really and truly.
Definitely, I would say part genius, but probably 80% just hard working guy.
And how was he at the ranch? Was that his love?
Oh yeah. That was a thing he always wanted to do in his life. And so we bought that, and he got it set up, and we went down there a lot. And he ran that just like he would anything else. We got dusty and dirty and hot in July, and he thought it was great. But he put 100% into that, too. It wasn't like that was just it was kind of a something fun to do.
Right, right.
But then he took that to that level of, but if we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it right. Yes.
And it was good. It was fun, but it was fun to be out there.
But that's the part that would probably be a little challenging at times. Like, just relax, Gary. I didn't have to see that part.
Yeah,
but I get it. Yeah. It's an intensity.
And he was down in the dirt with us doing the cows and everything.
He wasn't directing, like I said, from the air-conditioned van.
No.
He had the boots on and was getting dirty.
Yes, he did.
You know, it's amazing how well I get along with him because I don't want to do that either. I don't want to put my boots on and go down to a ranch and get dirty. I would be in the van looking out in the air conditioning. At least I'm being honest, saying, oh, that looks so fun. Oh, that looks really hard. Oh, that looks really hot. But I'm not that either. I don't think I asked this, but how do you plan to keep his dream alive and keep the work going? I know that matters to all of you. What are you going to commit to, Tim, for healthy homes and in a way he'd be proud of you? No pressure.
Well, I think one of the first meetings we had all together with Philip and other people in the company is after he passed us, hey, we're just going to carry on and keep doing the same things we're doing, just like if Gary was still here. So that means we're just going to keep learning. We're keep growing. Doing things like this, get the word out there.
Yeah, hey, our partnership is having an impact. Yeah,
have your home tested, you know, like research things like particulate matter. Particulate matter is a big cause of that respiratory problems that we're having, VOCs. These are things that we're trapping in our homes that most people have no clue what we're talking about.
They don't know that it's caused by that.
Yes.
They get migraines in their home. They get just headaches in their home. They might be nauseous. I mean, there's all kinds of things. Or breathing would be much more apparent, but you might think you're getting it from the outdoor air and not realize that outdoor air came in and it's trapped and it's making your lungs filled up or having you have upper respiratory issues.
Yeah, and he had given us so many tools, and I don't mean just physical tools to work
with. Right, right.
When he passed, that just continuing on with that is so big above everyone else that if we continue with that alone is great. And if we can build on that, I don't know how sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was always enhancing our program, too. A month would go down and he'd be... we changed everything. Like, oh, we did, huh? So then we'd have to relearn some stuff. But that was always him. Now that's what we're going to have to.
Well, what a legacy. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that we did this. And I was preparing and getting emotional about it, I thought, it's good for me too, because I miss him in a way that even I don't understand. And I think a lot of people feel that way. So thank you both for caring enough. Next week, Jamie Beck, Alexander, and Glenn Beck, not that Glenn Beck, the conservative naturalist and the environmental hypocrite. And then June 7th, Debbie Rich and Sydney Loudermilk, A Silver Medal Goes To, amazing show about a Girl Scout. Nice. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Philip and Tim.
Thank you for doing the show. I appreciate it.